Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai to continue our Thursday life. If you were listening to the Prashanthi Mandir Bhajans live from the Sai Kulwant Hall, you would have heard the golden voice of Bhagwan. Today we had Bhagwan's voice reverberating in the Sai Kulwant Hall with the Bhajan Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. So beautiful it was, you know, as Bhagwan went into the second speed and third speed. You just wish that the bhajan never ended. You just wish that the bhajan was going on anantamly, you know, just like anantam. Because it was so beautiful. You know, you just get lost in the joy of singing the Lord's name is anantam, just like the Lord is anantam. The Lord is infinite. The joy of thinking of the Lord is also infinite. That is when joy derives its true meaning. That is when joy is permanent. And that is when joy is truly transcending into bliss. So, welcome back to the studios from Sai Kulwant Hall to the beautiful studio that Bhagwan has gifted all of us in Prashanthi Nilayam. And before we proceed with our Radio Sai Bhajan classroom, here are the answers for the Bhajan quiz. So, last week we asked you for bhajans in which the word Achyuta appeared, and that was for the first time in these sessions, in these quiz sessions, where we asked you for the meaning of the word which we were searching in our bhajans. So we asked you for bhajans where the Lord is adored as Achyuta, as well as the meaning of the word Achyuta. And immediately after the question was posed, we started receiving so many responses. We had Brother Sai Krishna from Hyderabad who gave us the bhajans Hare Sai, Hare Sai, Hare Sai, Hare Hare. Hare Sai, Hare Sai, Sai Sai, Hare Hare. Achyutam Keshavam Ramanarayanam. So that's how you have Achyutam in this bhajan. He also gave us the bhajan Krishna Krishna Mukunda Janardana. There you have Achyutananda Govinda Madhava. Also the bhajan Raghava Rama Raghuvira. There you have Achyuta Ananta Narayana coming in the bhajan. Atma Rama Ananda Ramana. In that you have Achyuta Keshava Harinarayana. So these are the four bhajans his brother Sai Krishna gave. And the meaning of Achyuta that he sent us is the one who never loses his inherent nature and powers, who is unchangeable. So that was brother Sai Krishna. And we had Ms. Mrudula Murthy from Bangalore, who too has been a regular follower of this program, just like Sai Krishna. And she sent us Atma Rama Ananda Ramana, same bhajans which Brother Sai Krishna had sent. Krishna Krishna Mukunda Janardana, Hare Sai Hare Sai, Hare Sai Hare Hare, Rama Raghava Raghuvira. But one more bhajan which she gave is Jagat Palana Jagan Mohana. In that you have Achyuta Ananta Narayana. So that was the new bhajan where the word Achyuta comes, and she gave the meaning as the one who never loses, one who cannot be affected by any actions, weapons or nature, who is ever existent, who is never lost and who is imperishable. Beautiful. So many adjectives of this. Adjectives to explain this word Achyuta. Then we had Miss Shalini Krishnan from Ohio, USA, and she gave us the bhajans Atma Rama, Ananda Ramana and Achyutam Keshavam Ramanarayanam. This is a new bhajan, not mentioned till now. And she gave us two more bhajans, Om Namo Nama Om Nama Om. I am not familiar with this bhajan. And she also gave another Tamil bhajan, Pambanai Melpalli Kondai Ranga Ranga. I'm sorry for the pronunciation. I might have made some mistakes, but that is another Tamil bhajan, which of course is not sung in Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir, but I'm sure the word Achyuta comes there. And she gave us the meaning, the one who is unchangeable, the one without and is beyond the six transformations, birth, growth, modification, death, decay and disintegration. So that was a very beautiful explanation of being unchangeable. So the one who is beyond all these six transformations, birth, growth, modification, death, decay and disintegration. Thank you very much, Ms. Shalini Krishnan, for this beautiful answer. And then you have Miss Lata Swaminathan from New Jersey, again from the US, and she gave the bhajans Raghava Rama Raghuveera. We've already had this. Atma Rama Anandaramana, Jagat Palana Jagan Mohana. And another bhajan she gave, that is Rama Krishna Vasudeva Achyuta Ananta. I'm not familiar with this, but it is must be a bhajan, beautiful bhajan, and you have the lines also go very nicely. Pati Vasa Sai Deva Shridhara Ananta Gopi Janodhara Radha Lola Bhakta Janodhara Bhakti Gana Lola. Bhakti Gana Lola. It's a very beautiful phrase, Bhakti Gana Lola. Must be a very lovely bhajan. And she gave us the meaning. She has, in fact, split the word and beautifully explained, saying, one who does not have chyuti, that is, one who does not have any depletion. Chyuti perhaps means depletion or diminishing. So she says, achyuta means one who does not have any depletion. The one who is imperishable, who is changeless, one who is always is, who does not deplete, who does not in any manner diminish. Again, a very beautiful perspective. Thank you very much, Miss Lata Swaminathan. And we had Miss Chandrani Mandal, and the bhajan she gave was Atma Rama Anandaramana, Jagat Palana Jagan Mohana, Keshava Madhava Madhusudana. I don't know which, what is this bhajan? Rama Raghava Rama Raghuveera. And the meaning she gave was, one who does not lapse, firm, immovable, imperishable, Achyutam. Thank you so much, Miss Chandrani Mandal. Then you had Miss Lalita from Puttaparthi. Again, a regular listener of this program, and she gave us the bhajans Hare Sai, Hare Sai, Hare Sai, Hare Hare, Atma Rama Anandaramana, Jagat Palana, Jagan Mohana, Krishna Krishna, Mukunda Janardana, all that we have already seen. And the fifth bhajan she gave is Shri Madhusudanam Gopi Manoharam. And she said this is a bhajan which was sung in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir on 26th May 2016 on Thursday morning, live bhajans. So even I was not so familiar with this bhajan, and once she referred to the date and I checked that bhajan, yes, this was sung by the Ram Lakshman brothers who sometimes sing during the morning bhajan sessions, and not a very familiar bhajan, but yes, it was sung in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir in the Sanctum Sanctorum. So thank you very much, Ms. Lata. And in fact, she's also given a beautiful explanation of the meaning, where she says that Achyuta is one of the 1,000 names of Mahavishnu, and it appears twice in the Vishnu Sahasranamam. It is the 100th name, which comes in stanza 11, and it is also the 318th name, and it comes in stanza 35. And the meaning is infallible one, the one who never ever can fall from his real nature. This is the 100th name of Vishnu in stanza 11 of Vishnu Sahasranam. And the second reference she gives is stanza 35 of Vishnu Sahasranam. In this, you have the 318th name of Vishnu. And this means, here Achyutam also appears. And here it means the one who is eternal, immutable, changeless, who need not undergo any change which mortals undergo. So that is the immutable Lord. Then we have Supreet from Belampalli, Adilabad, again a regular contributor, and he has given us the bhajans Atma Rama Anandaramana, Jagat Palana Jagan Mohana, Krishna Krishna Mukunda Janardana. And Supreet so beautifully confesses, he says, you know what, I did not know the meaning of the word Achyuta, but I learned what it means, and this is what I found out. It means that one who never loses his inherent nature and powers. That was very sweet of him to say, to confess that I did not know, and he thanked for this program, saying this given him an opportunity to learn the meaning of one of the names of the Lord. Thank you very much, Brother Supreet. Then we have Avanish Belampalli. He is from Phoenix, USA, and he gave us the bhajans Atma Rama Anandaramana, Jagat Palana Jagan Mohana, Krishna Krishna Mukunda Janardana, Hare Sai Hare Sai Hare Sai Hare Hare, all that we have already seen. And the meaning of the word Achyuta he gave is the one who is eternal, one who is permanent. So if you see so many beautiful meanings, so many ways of explaining this word Achyuta, so, if you want to distill everything, it means Achyuta refers to that immutable, unchanging, indestructible principle of this cosmos. It is was and will always be. It is the primeval and the permanent force, source, soul of this universe. In fact, as I say this, something very beautiful comes to my mind. During a conversation with Brother Venkatesh Prasad, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, he had mentioned this particular incident, which perhaps so many of us also have heard, but it's a very beautiful way where Bhagwan revealed through a seemingly simple incident that how he is Achyuta. Brother Venkatesh Prasad says, I vividly recollect an incident which happened during my BCom days. He was a Vrindavan student and he says it happened during his winter holidays. And a few of them had stayed back to spend their holidays with Bhagwan. And he says, one fine morning, Swami gave us a surprise. He was blessing us all with individual photograph with him the next day. In fact, the students who have the opportunity to travel with Bhagwan to Kodaikanal, they have this opportunity of having individual photographs with Bhagwan. But also in the earlier years, especially in Vrindavan, Swami used to give this individual photograph to students, to every student, in front of the Trai Vrindavan building, the beautiful lotus structure in the background. And it happened in the early years of Vrindavan, sometime in the 80s. So he says, so the next morning we were already waiting for this rare opportunity inside Trai Vrindavan, Bhagwan's abode, and Swami decided to have this photo session on the lawns in front of his building, as I told you, and Swami himself selected an appropriate location. So a few of them stood to the right of Swami and the others were standing to the left of Swami, and they were waiting for Bhagwan's command. And Swami had designated two of his institute teachers to be the photographers for the day. And after having ensured that all arrangements have been made, then Swami commanded all the students to come quickly one by one for the photo session. So there were some on the left, there were some on the right, and the photographers were ready, Bhagwan was in the center, and Bhagwan is to indicate, and one boy from the left, one boy from the right, they should quickly come, stand next to Bhagwan, wait for the click, and then go back, make place for the next student. So this rigmarole continued, and all the time, you know, Swami was there standing, continuously posing all the time, that beautiful smile. Again he will smile, the same smile, the beautiful smile. And he was not moving even an inch, Bhagwan, from his selected posture which he had selected. The boys were coming and going. So Brother Venkatesh Prasad also, he ran to Swami, stood near him, anxiously waited for that prized photo to be taken. And then, after his photo was taken, there was a brief interlude, because, you know, in those days you did not have the digital cameras, you had those film roll cameras. So the roll had to be changed. So the photographer, sir, was trying to quickly change the roll. And Swami continued to look at the camera. And then, Swami made a statement. Bhagwan never loses even that 3 seconds gap to give us a message. And that, Venkatesh Prasad brother says, is a very profound message for all time to come. That was the most prized moment of the day. Not the photograph that they had with Bhagwan, but what Bhagwan said. Swami said, see, you all come and go, but I am always here. I am always there. I am permanent. And that is so true, isn't it, in our lives? So many people come into our lives, they go out of our lives. Some people make our lives, some people love us. There's some people who disturb us. They say, so many who come into our lives, some hurt you, some heal you, some help you, some care for you, some disturb you, some love you. Some also at the same time leave deep scars in you. But everyone comes and moves on. The only person who is there all the time is Him. He was there even before we knew that we exist. And He is there and will be there even after we leave this body, until we go back to Him. the only permanent thing in our lives, the only permanent connection in our lives. He is that Achyutam for all of us. There's also another very interesting connotation of this word Achyuta. One meaning is he who does not slip, or he who does not allow his devotees to slip. Isn't that beautiful? He's not only the one who does not slip, how can he slip? But he's also the one who does not allow his devotees to slip. In fact, on one occasion, Mr. Praveena, who is a teacher in Bhagwan's school in Prashantinilam, he had written a Sanskrit verse. Sir is a very good Sanskrit scholar, and he had in fact composed the Saisha Shatkam. And in one particular composition, he had used a Sanskrit phrase, which is Nipatetu Hastam Yetu, which means you lend your hand to the fallen. This is what the meaning of this phrase is. Oh Lord, you lend your hand to the fallen. When Bhagwan heard this phrase, Swami asked him to correct it and said, instead of Nipatetu Hastam Yetu, make it Nivatetu Hastam Yetu. So, sir went back and he made that correction, and when he checked for the meaning, he found out that what Nivatetu Hastam Yetu means is the one who gives his hand when weakness sets in and not after the fall. You know, he had written that the one who gives his hand when we have fallen, but Swami said he is not that. He is someone who gives his hand when weakness sets in. He is someone who is there to hold us even when we have become weak, when we are about to fall. He is the one who will not let us fall. He is not the one who will pick us up after we have fallen. He is the one who is there at every step waiting to ensure that we do not fall. And he is the permanent one. That is the glory of this beautiful word, Achyuta. Imagine when we sing this bhajan, you know, when we sing this word in the bhajan and we sing it with this feeling, we sing it with this offering in our mind. Oh Lord, you are the one who is the only permanent thing in my life. And Lord, you are the one who always is there to hold. Hold me not when I have fallen, hold me whenever I am weak. That is what is Achyutam is all about. So thank you very much, each one of you, brothers and sisters, for sending us these beautiful interpretations of this word Achyutam. It has really made my day, and I'm sure it is helping each one of us in this beautiful journey to merge into this beautiful Lord who is the only permanent thing in our lives. And now for the quiz for the coming week. So let's take up another word. Now we have the word Saketa. So tell us, what is the meaning of Saketa? And give us three bhajans in which the word Saketa comes. And you have to give us your answers by Sunday, by June 12, 2015. And as always, you can send them to quiz@radiosai.org. Thank you so much, dear listeners. I'm really waiting for new revelations that will come with Saketa. Every moment when you think about Swami, think about His bhajans, is so reinvigorating. So please let us venture onto this new spiritual adventure of Saketa. And now, let's move on to our discussion on the Aarti in the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This is the fifth part of our explanation of the Sri Satya Sai Aarti. Let's move on to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom with a prayer. Let us offer our most prayerful and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beautiful beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please ensure
that in every moment of our lives, our thoughts go only to you. Even if there are shortcomings in our acts, even if there are traces of impurities in our actions, please ensure that every moment of our lives, we strive to purify ourselves, we strive to sanctify our thoughts, so that every thought, word and act become means to worship your feet, so that every second of our lives take us one step closer to merchants with you. With this prayer, dear listeners, welcome to the fifth episode of this special series on the Satya Sai Aarti in Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. So in the previous four episodes, we have been discussing about the significance, the meaning and the importance of the Satya Sai Aarti. We shared with you the lyrics, the tune and the right pronunciation of the Satya Sai Aarti, which is composed in Sanskrit and Telugu. We need to be very careful of the Telugu words, and that is one of the reasons why we started this series on the Aarti, because there are many people who do not know the right pronunciation of the Telugu words, and when we don't pronounce them well, the meaning completely gets distorted. So today we will take up the third stanza of the Satya Sai Aarti. We will listen to the lyrics, the right pronunciation and the tune of this vital song, which is part of every Sai Bhajan session anywhere in the world. So here is Brother Ravi Kumar explaining to us the lyrics of the third stanza of the Satya Sai Aarti.
Omkara Rupa Ojasvi O Sai Mahadeva Satya Sai Mahadeva Mangala Harati Anduko Mangala Harati Anduko Mandara Giridhari Om Jai Jagadisha Hare.
Now that we know the lyrics and the pronunciation, let us sing this third stanza. Brother Ravi Kumar will now demonstrate to us the tune and the right pronunciation of this third stanza, which begins with Om Kara Rupa. So do listen carefully and sing along.
The Mangala Arati is sung in the scale C sharp Madhyam. Omkara Rupa Ojasvi O Sai Mahadeva Satya Sai Mahadeva Mangala Harati Anduko Mangala Harati Anduko Mandara Giridhari Om Jai Jagadish Hare.
So we are now done with the lyrics and the tune of the third stanza. We hope it helped you to get the pronunciation right of all the Sanskrit and the Telugu words in the stanza. We discussed about the raga of the Satya Sai Aarti in the first episode of this series. Those of us who are keen students of music may please refer to the first episode, where we have gone in detail and explained the technicalities of this composition. Brother Aniruddha has given the raga and the notes and the scale and the chords on the piano of the Satya Sai Aarti. The most important part of this series on the Satya Sai Aarti is the bhava aspect, trying to understand why we do the aarti. And in every episode, we have tried to discuss, to whatever extent possible, the significance and the meaning of every word that makes the Satya Sai Aarti. And today we will continue that discussion with Brother Amey Deshpande, a former student of Baba's University and a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. Today we discuss the meaning of the third stanza of the Satya Sai Aarti. Sairam, Brother Amey, and welcome once again to this special episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Sairam, Brother Vishu, happy to be here.
So we are discussing about
Satya Sai Arati, and we have discussed the intro stanza and then the first two stanzas, and this is the last stanza, and to me it seems very profound, isn't it? It starts with a very, very profound word, Omkara Rupa.
Yes.
Now, Omkara, just that phrase Omkara seems so pregnant with meaning, isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, Swami in Dhyanavahini has spoken a lot about Omkara and how it must be chanted. And how Omkara itself has some very terrific properties. For example, Om is probably the only word which does not need the tongue. Right? So when you say Om, in fact, Swami says it does not even need the lips. It just needs an opening, one slit in your face anywhere from where sound comes. So that is why it is also the most primeval sound, because it does not require anything to be produced. It just has to come from Nabhi, from the navel, and it has to just come out. And so therefore it is also like the most primeval and the most fundamental sound. It just requires, so even the Om that we know, Swami would often call it as Akara, Ukara and Makara. Not just Om, so it has the element of Aum, right, which stands for Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. So Omkara Rupa actually subsumes all the three. We are also saying that you are the Trinity. Right, so Omkara is loaded. You know, I mean, we can have discourses and discourses that Brahma. Yes. So there's a lot of significance to it. So yeah, it's a fantastic start to the last stanza.
Yeah. And Omkara Rupa Ojasvi.
Yes.
So we are now adoring the Lord as the one who is resplendent with the glow of Omkara.
Right. Now here is another little trivia. Why not Tejasvi? Right. What is the difference between Tejas and Ojas? Right. Why do we refer to as God as not as Tejas Swarupa but as Ojas Swarupa? So the subtle difference is Teja is something that you can with spiritual endeavors, and you can it increases. Or you can borrow it. Somebody touches you, you can get this. So all of us have teja. So the aura is there around every one of us. So all of us have got some tejas.
Yes.
Right? But the Lord, but this is borrowed. For example, what moon? The moon has got tejas because it is borrowed from the sun. Whereas the sun is ojas. It is self-illuminating.
Yes.
So we are referring to the Lord over here as he is not someone who has to do something to achieve it. He is just there. So all our other saints, they will gain, tejas from a lot of spiritual practice, etc. While Avatar or the Lord has got ojas. It is self-illuminating. So that is a little difference that I thought we can also mention over here.
I think just like the Omkara came out of nothing.
Correct.
I think it's very...
It was just there.
It was just there. It's so much connected it is. Omkara Rupa Ojasvi.
Yes.
He's just explaining the same thing.
Yes, it's not just alliteration.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Yes. It's something far more, very thoughtfully.
Yeah, Omkara refers to the sound, and perhaps Ojas refers to the light.
Light, yeah, sound and light.
Sound and light, He is the primeval sound and the light.
Also the primeval light.
Light,
yes.
Yeah. And the Lord said, let there be light.
Correct. Sound, light and action.
Light and action. Yeah. So he is the Sai, O Sai Mahadeva. He is the one who is the source of all this.
Correct.
Yeah. He willed and sound, light and action happened. And Mahadeva.
Yes. And of course, Mahadeva is again a beautiful epithet like Jagannatha, Mahadeva.
Yes.
All of these, just for... just to again reiterate to us what is his teacher.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And then of course comes the working line of the Aarti, means having done all this, God is kind of asking, okay, so what's the agenda here? Means why is it an Aarti and why is it not a bhajan?
Yes.
Right? And bhajans also have got so many of these words. Nada Brahma or Omkara Rupa, etc., etc. So where does this become an aarti? In these two lines, it actually becomes an aarti, which is Mangala Aarati Anduko the second Telugu word.
Yes.
Which is, please accept for Lord for all this that you are. Shashivadana, Shrikara, Sarva Pranapate, Mata, Omkara, all that you are. Please accept this Mangala Aarti that we are offering to you.
And it's a Mangala Aarti.
Yes. Auspicious.
Very auspicious. Because as we discussed before, Aarti is a feeling of darshan, a feeling of supplication.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, so, and if you actually go back to the caveman days, fire was one of the, you know, the most brilliant discoveries of man. And oftentimes in those days, it was actually, so the use of fire itself has evolved.
Yes.
If you look at it in one sense. First, the fire was actually used, you know, to cook and to keep animals away. The predominant thing of a fire was, I need to survive. So I used to have, the man had needed fire to keep animals away. Then he started making very good use of it, in the sense more productive use in terms of cooking, okay, and then, you know, industrial usage. But what Swami actually wants us to use is, that does not make it Mangala.
Yes.
Right? Just by burning fire or camphor, it is not Mangala.
Yes.
When you wave it to the Lord, which is your true nature, then it becomes Mangala. So possibly, my little understanding is that, any fire will not be Aarti.
Aarti, yes.
When you wave it to me,
yes.
Okay, and when you try to have my darshan, then it becomes Mangala Aarti.
Yes. Just like they say, you know, Any wealth is not Lakshmi.
Correct.
Only that wealth that you have earned through righteous means is Lakshmi.
Correct.
So similarly, any yes. fire is not Aarti.
It's not Aarti. Yes.
It is only that fire which you use to see the Lord, to offer yourself to the Lord.
Correct.
That is what is Aarti.
Aarti. Yes. So Anduko is please accept.
Please accept. Yeah.
And over here, the other funny thing is, there's a very subtle difference between Anduko and Enduko, right? So it is actually a Anduko. Enduko in Telugu means why.
Enduko, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we are, if we by mistake, if we get the wrong pronunciation, we are actually saying, after singing all of this, we say, so why do you need the Mangala Aarti? If you say Mangala Aarti Enduko,
yeah.
Okay, we are saying, you know, why do you need the Mangala Aarti?
Yeah.
It's exactly opposite meaning.
Yeah.
So one must be very careful of pronunciation also here. It's Anduko.
Anduko, yes. And after that, I think comes a very, again, a very weighty phrase.
Yes.
Mandara Giridhari.
Yeah. So, again, to me, actually, Giridhari is a very beautiful word because he is actually the lifter of all our obstacles.
Yes.
So, all our burdens. So, this is also a very nice time to actually give away all our burdens to Him.
Yes.
You know, so, Swami is actually telling us that, you know, you are like that foolish passenger who's sitting
yes.
in the train with the box on his head. And he says, they say, why don't you put it down? No, it's my burden, I have to carry it. He says, Arey, but the train is carrying you and your burden. So, even if you keep it down, the train. So, he is actually the train,
yes.
you know. But we still carry our burdens.
Burden.
Why don't we just leave it? Our burdens will come along with us. Our karmas, you know, will
yes.
come along with us. But at least let us not feel the weight.
Yes.
Yeah. And there are lots of beautiful things connected to Giridhari.
Yes. I mean, we know of so many instances. I think one discourse Swami said that even Dwapara Yuga, I lifted only one Govardhana. In this Yuga, I will lift a million Govardhanas.
Correct.
And that is what he's
doing. A whole mountain range.
Mountain range.
Yes.
And if you see, I think that is what each one of us has experienced.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the other funny thing that happens, you know, is when Shri Krishna lifted up Govardhana, you know, they were all, obviously it was something spectacular and it was in something inhuman,
yes.
or superhuman rather. Mm. But it seems all the Gokul Vasis, you know, everybody, you know, they started giving their support with their sticks, you know, thinking that to that extent, let me try to lessen the burden of Lord Krishna by putting my little bamboo sticks, my walking sticks as support,
yes.
you know, and I feel that is so symbolic with
yes.
what we try to do in, you know,
yeah.
especially Satyasa organization.
Yeah, thinking that, you know, I'm serving Swami's mission.
I am serving, you know, I am the stick. I am going to support Swami with his mission, you know, and things like that. And it seems they said that, you know, there are hundreds of sticks over there. And they said, Krishna, you can take a little break, you know, our sticks are there to support it. And it seems Krishna just lowered his, you know, his left finger.
Yeah.
By a little bit, and all the sticks broke. Means it's so foolish. I mean, when you look at it, actually, it's so foolish.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
You know, we think that we are the ones who are carrying the mission, and we are the ones who are going to take it forward. And by the way, for him, lifting all our burdens is equivalent to his left fingers, his left palm's little finger. Left arm.
Yeah.
He did not even need to use his right arm for it, which is supposed to be our stronger
and
arm.
And the tiniest finger.
By the way, he was a right-hander.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And the tiniest finger. So for him, this entire world and all its burden is, that's all it is for him. So why not just give it to him? So Giridhari is a beautiful word wherever it comes. But it is not Govardhana Giridhari. This is Mandara Giridhari. And Mandara mountain was a different mountain. Right? This is the mountain which was used for churning the ocean between the gods and the asuras, the demons.
Yes.
And there too he came in the form of the tortoise and held the mountain on top. So, so what is the difference and why is this Mandara and that this is also very, very symbolic. This churning process is something that is happening within us 24/7. You know, between the forces of good and the forces of evil.
Yes.
So there's always good and, so Shreyas and Prayas.
Yes.
You know, the pleasant and the good. There's always a continuous churning process. And the whole story of this churning, you know, gave rise to several things. For example, the first thing that came out of the churning was the Halahala.
Yes.
The poison which came out. And that was also drunk by the Lord.
Yes.
So even in our life, the symbolic understanding is that when you step onto the spiritual path, when the churning process starts, which is pretty much, I think, the fundamental purpose of human birth, no other animal goes through churning. Like they say, you know, the cheetah every morning doesn't wake up to kill the cutest deer in town. Right? He doesn't look over when he sees a swarm of, or when he sees a herd of deer, he doesn't look around going which is the fattest or which is the, you know, the cutest or the most beautiful. That problem we have. Right? So, no other animal actually goes through a churning process.
Yes.
It's only human beings that go through this journey. And the earlier that this churning process starts, the better for us. You know, start early, drive slowly, reach safely. So, in that sense, this churning process is happening. The first thing that is going to come out of this is poison.
Yes.
Right? But let us not worry about it because there is someone to consume it for us.
Yes.
Again, our compassionate Lord, He will take this halahala. And then, of course, the beauty of this churning is several other things come out. The Kalpa Vriksha, the Kalpataru is supposed to have come out from that churning process.
Kamadhenu
is supposed to have, Lakshmi herself is supposed to have come out from this. So several things will come out, and I think all this stands for all our achievements in life.
Yes.
So once the churning process starts, we start achieving, you know, spiritually, materially, mentally,
intellectually.
We start achieving, but we don't stop there. We don't stop until the final result comes, which is Amrita.
Yes.
You know, the nectar of immortality.
Yes.
So, this is again a very loaded...
And the most important thing is, this churning is happening because of the basis, which is the tortoise.
Exactly. Yes. He's the basis.
He's the basis. And I think that is what is conveyed in all the stanzas, isn't it? When we say Sarva Pranapate or Mariantayu Nive, Mandara Giridhari, we are all the time telling that you are the basis.
Yes, you are everything. The basis of all the churning that is going to happen. If God becomes the center of our churning, it finally results in Amrita.
Amrita. Yes.
So that is also the reason why possibly Mandara was used and not Govardhana.
Govardhana.
So we would never know what was going on.
Yeah.
I think Swami just inspired Tirumalachar to write it this way.
Yes. And so beautiful. When you take every phrase, I think when the aarti is going on, probably you will not get time to concentrate on every phrase.
Correct.
But I think we should make that conscious effort to every time we sing the aarti, at least concentrate on one phrase in every stanza, you know.
Yes.
That itself is enough. That itself will be such an elevating experience. You know,
correct.
The aarti is all about that light which is going up.
Yes.
You know, the flame is going up.
Yeah, flame always goes up.
You know, that is the beauty of the deepam, of the camphor. become nothing, be all and, you know, give all and take nothing, do all and be nothing.
Yes.
Do all and be nothing. That's what the arati is. And I think that is a feeling that it can grant to us. If we pause and as we sing, at least ruminate on one phrase of this beautiful, amazing composition and song that Bhagwan has given, which is part of every bhajan session.
Yes. Not only every bhajan session.
Yes. Every
Sai function. Every Sai function, yes.
Thank you very much, Brother Anay.
Thank you once again. Sai Ram.
That was Brother Amay Deshpande, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, an accomplished musician and a talented singer who has been singing in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashanti Nilayam for nearly 2 decades now. Dear listeners, we hope you found this discussion fruitful. Please do share with us your reflections and insights. Maybe there are other ideas that you have. Maybe there are other perspectives to what we have shared in the last 20-25 minutes. Definitely there is much more to the arati, because unless it was so important, Bhagwan would not have made it an integral part of every bhajan session right from the time Satya Sai bhajans began. Definitely there is much more to contemplate on the words and the meaning and the tune of this sacred song. So if there are any thoughts that you have, please feel free to share with us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Before we conclude, let's once again sing the Satya Sai Arati. We'll now play for you the Mandir version of the entire song. Let us sing it with devotion, with this new understanding and with complete supplication to the Lord.
Om Jai Jagadish Hare Swami Satya Sai Hare Bhakta Jana Sangrakshaka Bhakta Jana Sangrakshaka Pati Maheshwara Om Jai Jagadish Hare Shashi Vahana Shri Kara Sarva Pranapati Swami आश्रित कल्पल गीता पाप पांडव ओम जय जगदीश हरि माता पिता गुरु देव मरि अंतयुनीवे स्वामी मरि अंतयुनीवे नाद ब्रह्म जगन्नाथ नाद ब्रह्म जगन्नाथ
Jai
sukhino bhavantu samasta loka sukhino bhavantu samasta loka sukhino bhavantu.
So that brings us to the end of the fifth episode of this special series on the Satya Sai Arati. We will have one more episode on the Arati in the coming week, where we will discuss about the last stanza of the Satya Sai Arati, the stanza that is repeated in three variations of speed and after which the Arati concludes. So that's coming up next week. For any feedback on this program, dear listeners, you can always write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this program at the lotus feet of our most merciful, beautiful Lord.
So with that, dear listeners, it's time to move on to the next segment. Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and Prem and Harishankar waiting to take over. Before I pass on the mic, let me remind you about the bhajan quiz. So the next week, please do send us bhajans in which the word Saketa appears and also the meaning of the word Saketa. Do send us by Sunday, June 12th. As always, you can send your responses to quiz@radiosai.org. Keep singing, keep thinking about him. Thank you so much. Sadam.